And please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 11:26. And as we continue in our study through this book that most people don't even read, I would imagine, I really wish you could just take a poll of every Christian in the country. And how many of you have read Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and people skip it, but yet it's so important, and yet it's also so hard to understand if you haven't. Deuteronomy is contingent on having read Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, which we haven't done, but I hope you have. And so if some is confusing, I'm going to try and kind of put in the pieces that are really critical here in the study today. And we're going to be showing one of the things that we're going to be talking about up on the screen. But last week we saw that I set before you a blessing and a curse. And that, isn't that life? You know, God sets before us a blessing. What is the blessing? You can have faith in Jesus Christ. You can turn away from your sins and your lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. And although you might have struggles in life, maybe even be killed for believing in Jesus, but you're blessed for all of eternity. Or you can turn to the devil. He can give you temporary pleasures. Temporary fantasies can be lived out. But what ends up happening to your life is you're destroyed. And this morning I got here early enough. There was a guy that was on a bike just wanting a lighter. And telling me a story about why he wanted a lighter. I don't know what the truth is. God does. But I just started witnessing to him, talking to him, gave him a book of John, one of the little million-dollar book of Johns. And he just started opening up, and he goes, he was telling me, he goes, people just don't let me get around them, you know, just they still think that I'll change his name to Joe Methhead. And I said, oh, so meth did have your life. And he goes, yeah, but it's been 2 months. You know, I've been clean for 2 months, which is a praise Jesus. And I said, but you know, and he had already talked about Satan. He said that all religions are all really the same and everything. And he's, you know, just all this new age stuff and lies of the devil, which fits into our study today. And I said, no, they're not all the same. There's only one that we can have a relationship with God. And then he was talking about Hasatanas, all of us. Hasatan is the Hebrew for Satan. And, the adversary is really what it means, which is Satan. And he was thinking it's just all, Joe, there is a Satan. And what you've been doing is living to serve him. And then he just rattled off how destroyed his life is. Just with, a broken marriage, children out of wedlock, things that had made him confess that he wanted to go kill somebody for some of the things that happened. I go, do you realize your life is just trashed? Because you've been serving Hasatan. So we give you the book of John and go through here. It's not about, it's not a religion among many religions. It's a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ that can set you free. If you don't, your life will be destroyed. That's what Moses was saying to the people, what God's word was saying to the people. You have life, death, you have light, and you have darkness. You have blessings, you have curse. And everybody's making a decision every single day what we're going to do. So today we're going to get into pertaining to the law. Moses, after all this lead-in, is saying, okay, now we're going to start with the law. And you know what he starts with? Get away from idols. And because the idolatry is so destructive. Today we would be saying, you know, Jesus is the only way. Our message is Jesus is the only way. Get away from the world. Turn away from all the idols. Jesus is the only way to be saved. So Deuteronomy 11:26, we covered this last week, but I wanted to show these pictures here. Are they coming up on the board, Dave? We can put them up there. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. So, once again, blessing, curse. It's your choice. It's our choice. We obey the God who created us. He's going to bless us. Even through the hardships of life. We turn away and just want to do our own thing, we'll be destroyed. Choose love by worshiping God. And I would imagine, see, even the people, how many people today are going to churches to hear about Jesus, to worship him and everything else around the world compared to the 7 billion people that are on the world? See, what you guys have decided to do is, I want to gather together. with people and take this time of my life, because you know what? God has blessed me with everlasting life, and I want to just learn with Him. I want to be around other people that think that way. I want to encourage one another. I want to love one another. And that is so rare. It's getting increasingly rare. It used to be pretty popular in the country that at least people would go to church to hear something about God, even if they hadn't truly bowed the knee to Jesus and gotten filled with the Spirit. That's what Americans used to do. Did it used to be better in America? Was it a safer place for children, for people, and everything else? And so have we been, because we don't do that, because Moses is going to get into that, get into the need to go and do relationship with God God's way, which in this dispensation is the church gathering together, break bread together, to love one another, to get together, and to learn of Him. And we see the destruction happening to our country because people are completely ignorant of the Word of God. Verse 29, now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Now I put a little map in your notes there, which will also be online. For people listening online, they can go to our website, calvarypo.org, and go to this Bible study on the sermon archives. And you'll see, can you see Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim there? It's kind of in the middle of the map. And where Moses is saying this is on the east side of the Jordan River. Just on the, you see the Jordan River running down, and you see Jericho on the west side of the Jordan River. The Jews are camped on the east side of the Jordan River right across from Jericho. So that's where he's saying this. And he's saying, when you get into the land, you shall put a blessing on Mount Gerizim and a cursing on Mount Ebal. And that's considerably north. You know, it's quite a bit north from there. And so the Jews did it, though. Moses died on the east side of the Jordan River. And the Jews, then they went across the river. They conquered Jericho. And when they conquered Jericho, they were told, you take none of the idols, none of the things of the people of Jericho, idol worshippers, slaughtering their children, all the things that, you know, as we've mentioned already in communion time, we're doing in America. God says, I'm going to judge them for doing that. And one family, Achan, they coveted and stole. We covered this in a previous study. And they hid the idol stuff, the gold and silver associated with idolatry, in a robe from Babylon, underneath their tent, thinking they could get away with it. And so they went to Jericho, they stole that. Then the Jews, and this is all in Joshua, then the Jews go to the next city, Ai, which is just to the right of Bethel on your map there. So there's Jericho, go to the left, you see Bethel, just to the right of that is a city called Ai. Although it's not in your map. And so the Jews go, okay, now we're going to conquer them too. And instead, the men of Ai came out and started killing the Jews. And then Joshua goes, God, we lost. We lost this battle. And we're going to get slaughtered because there's so many more Canaanites here than us. And God says, get off your face and stop whining. I'm paraphrasing. Stop whining about it. There's sin in the camp. Somebody stole an idol and stuck it under their tent floor, and you go figure out who it is. And so the way they figured it out was, you know, the way we would call it, drawing straws. They called it casting lots. They cast lots, and they go, okay, Achan, the casting of lots picks you. What did you do? Well, I hit an idol. In violation of everything that we have been reading in Deuteronomy and what we're about to read in Deuteronomy, we hid an idol. So they had to expose they had to turn it over to Joshua. They burned it all. They stoned the family to death. They burned them to death, and they put a pile of rock over them to make an object lesson. We can't have victory. We can't be blessed as a country. We can't have victory. To start out at the very beginning with idolatry creeping into the nation. Not that that stopped them from doing it, because they kept on doing it. But that was the judgment that came. They got cursed. Achan got, you know, Achan for a bruising is what I like to say. Achan got cursed. And we can get cursed by allowing idols into our life. Here's the bottom line. We can let idols, as Christians, we can have something become more important than God, which is what an idol is. We can let something be more important than God. And it can bring a curse into our life. So then God says, okay, Joshua, now that you've cleaned camp, now go defeat the people of Ai, the Canaanites of Ai, this way. And they had victory. And you know what Joshua did then? He goes right up to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal to say, okay, if Moses said when we get over and we conquer the promised land, we need to do this. I'm going to do it right now because we're just weeks away from when Moses was telling us, and we've already had one of our people worship idols and cause us to lose in battle. We're going right up there. And so when you look at what's up on the screen, you see that the rock altar that Joshua made is there today. They've archaeologically discovered this is the altar he had, and what that altar is Mount Ebal. That's the cursing mountain. And then you can look down the valley and up to the other hill. That's Mount Gerizim. And what the Jews were supposed to do, and what they did do, is they put the priest in the center in the Ark of the Covenant, and then you have Mount Gerizim was going, if you obey God, you're going to be blessed this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And if you disobey God, you're going to be cursed this way, this way, this way, this way. And the archaeological discovery found that little lead tablet folded up, and they couldn't unravel it to find out what was going on. They used technology to get inside of it. And it says, cursed, 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 cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed, cursed, you will surely die cursed by Yahweh, cursed, cursed, cursed. And really, this is happening right at the point, the oldest Hebrew ever found in the nation of Israel, recently discovered. And the people are just, you know, we're going to be cursed if we turn away from God. Look what Achan did. Look at how we're cursed. If we don't get right and stay right with God, we're going to be cursed. When we get to Deuteronomy 27 and 28, we'll see it even more. It's all the details of the blessings, all the details of the curses. But I'm going to read to you. It's not in your notes. Moses commanded the people on the same day. This is 27:11. I'm going to read just a short part of it. These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, the different tribes that are on each side. And then it says, the Levite shall speak with a loud voice and say to the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a graven and molded image, an abomination to the Lord, and the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. So the cursing sign, you know, Mount Ebal, where that altar is, and all the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel divided by two, so they were sitting on some on one side, some on this side. This side said, cursed if you make an idol, you'll be destroyed. And everybody then shouts out, amen. That's the way it'll be, cursed. And then it says, the next thing it says, and I want to throw this in just to make sure everybody sticks around for this when we get to 27, all the adults. Cursed is the one who treats his father and his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, amen. Including the teens. So, and it goes on from there. But, and it's just, it's so true. When we get there, everything about the law that God instills upon us and exhorts us with is for our good. So every time we're violating the law of God, we are cursing ourselves whether we recognize it or not. And so, let's go to Joshua chapter 8, verse 30, because this is where Joshua actually does this. I gave you the background of the history so that you can just see when this is happening. Now, Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel on Mount Ebal, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. They didn't have any man tools. It was just stones that were gathered, as we saw in that picture, photograph of what's actually there. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. So they're going in the line to conquer it. They could be afraid of the fact that all these nations are getting ready to pounce on them, but Joshua goes, you know what? Right now we're going to go there and I'm going to write out the whole law of Moses on rocks. That's not as quick as typing it out. I mean, imagine what this took. And then he actually read the entire thing to the people. The power of the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, that God want them to do. And yet, if we think we can walk in this disgusting society that has become the world without reading the Word of God, then we are fooling ourselves. See, Joshua knew, I've got to get the Word. We got to remind ourselves, even after Moses just got done telling us, we're going to read the whole thing before we go any further in our desire to conquer the land as commanded by God to do. Then all Israel with their elders, officers, and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger, as well as he who was born among them, we mentioned last week, strangers from other nations would come. I want to worship the God of Israel. What are they doing? They're there joining them in worshiping the God of Israel. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law and blessed the blessings and the cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, the strangers who were living among them. And so many people say, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't understand it. God wanted them to read it to the kids, to the families, to the house. It should be in our house. It should be read. I would encourage you, you sit at the table and you make a chapter as of before you eat, when you gather around the table. You then discuss while you're eating why it's so important. Pick a chapter, pick something. Because if we don't let the Word of God get into our children, they're going to be so messed up. And so let's go back to Deuteronomy 11:29. Now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you out of the land of which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan? And Moses is saying, they're over there. When you get there, because I can't, you go do it. And they did. Towards the setting of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth tree of Morah. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. And now we get into chapter 12, where he actually starts giving some of the law, some of the statutes that have already been explained in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. But he's emphasizing these things in the book of Deuteronomy. These are the statutes, Deuteronomy 12:1, the judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers, is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. He's going to conclude with, because the people that did all those things in all those places ended up sacrificing their children. And what are the different gods? You know, again, this, as I mentioned during announcement time, Gaza farmer finds 4,500-year-old statue of Canaanite goddess. And she was the goddess of love and war and beauty and stuff. And so she's... Back in those days, that was their porn. Even though, you know, it's not so porny here, they would go to an idol and worship and just give me, I want beauty, I want love, I want to pray to this God to give me a love with this woman, a love with this man, I want to be into lust and everything. And today, we've got one of those in every phone if you just hit the right buttons. It's just right there, ready to just snag us and tag us and kill us. And we have to just say, and what the first thing he's emphasizing, you cannot have idols in your life. They will destroy you. Why, you know, and then it goes on to, you know, it's saying, under serve their gods on the high mountains. I can even remember as a pagan when I was really struggling. You know, I wanted to know God. I was seeking God. And I've shared this before. The movie Eric Von Däniken, Chariot of the Gods, had just come out. I was going to nuclear power school in Vallejo, California. And I went and watched the movie. And I go, oh, that's the answer. God's a spaceman. And so, if you haven't seen Eric Von Däniken's Chariot of the Gods, you know, it was like there's aliens out there, and a lot more people believe that now today. Now I know them to be demons, identified fallen objects, instead of UFOs, identified fallen objects, but fallen beings, fallen angels. What did I do? I was in Vallejo and I went across the interstate and I just went to found a high hill on farmland. I wanted to get up there and I said, God, if that movie's true and if that's what you really are as a spaceman, then I want you to reveal yourself. You got 10 minutes. I literally did that. And he didn't come back. I mean, he didn't do anything. It's like, okay, God's not a spaceman. I mean, I was thinking that seriously, that I want to know God. I am so seeking him that if he's there, that's what it's going to be. Shortly, very shortly after that, somebody put a flyer in the nuclear power school bulletin board to go to a movie, Time to Run, a Billy Graham movie. I went there, and I found the real God. So he said, no, Kevin, it's not there, but I'm going to have somebody put a flyer up, and you're going to go to this movie, and I'm going to touch your heart. Because I know you're seeking. You know, God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek me with your whole heart. And so, but I wanted to get up on a mountain. See, that's what everybody does. They just see, I want to get closer to God. I want to be there. And besides that, it says, under the hills and under every green tree. Well, what's, in a time where you can't call up and rendezvous with people, let's say you just want to, you want to go serve the gods of lust and pleasures. Where are you going to go? Nice high hill, under a green tree, nice grassy place. Come on, let's meet up and hook up. And so that's why, and you know what? This becomes a curse to the nation of Israel, their entire history. If you read the book of Kings and Chronicles and Joshua, you find out that the people are always under the trees. And they're always worshiping idols under there, the few that would be allowed to. And it wasn't until Hezekiah that he finally gets rid of all the high places. You shall utterly destroy the high places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains, on the hills. So today, what were the high places of America? Let's say that was their way to congregate. If you didn't want to go worship God at the tabernacle, you didn't want to go to synagogue and listen to the priest during Saturday, you wanted to go sneak away and do some idolatry, you know, that was where you went. You went to where people knew, hey, if you go to the top of that hill over there, bring a little booze, bring a little this, we're going to worship it. One of the Canaanite gods of lust and sex, and then that's what you do. But what is it today? What do people do today? Huh? How about the bars of the world? Aren't the bars, like if you want to just go and mix it up in the lust of the flesh, that's where you go. You go get high, you go meet somebody, you hook up, you do this, you do that, you go after the lust of the flesh. How about stadiums? To stir up those that worship gods of sports. You know, it's okay to enjoy sports. You know what I love about sports? I stand in absolute awe of the creation capability of God who can make a human being be able to do things that are beyond comprehension. You know who did that? God. I worship God. But not, most people don't do that for sports. What do? They worship sports. They paint themselves up. They go nuts. They go crazy. They lose their peace and everything. If their guys didn't win, their team didn't win, whatever else. And you can make sports your God. And if you do, you won't want to come here to church. You'll want to just do your sports thing. How about Netflix, theaters, etc.? Are they full of lust flesh? I mean, in fact, Netflix is getting hit because people are waking up to the fact it's just all about porn and pedophilia and all this other stuff that's just being crammed and being propagandized into our culture. And people are finally saying, whoa, wait a second, I need to cancel this. But the tragedy is, there should be zero until, you know, you clean this place up, because you're going to curse our nation. curse our children, to program them all with your filth through all this Hollywood pervert industry, and so clean it up or we're done. And godless universities where the youth go to primarily party and receive doctrines of demons instead of real education. How much is that happening? You know, I mean, I grew up where everybody, like, if you want to be somebody, send your, go to college, get a degree. And you would actually, at the time, get an education for the most part. But even when my son, my youngest son, was going to Washington State University, it was known nationally as the party school. So kids go, Dad, I've got an offer here and here and here in Wazoo. I really want to go to Wazoo. Can I go to Wazoo? Why? Because I get to party. I get to hook up. I get to do this stuff. I get to do whatever. And now the education is so trashed. Here's my encouragement to anybody that's aspiring to college. You better get to a good college. You better not want to party. And my son did not want to party. Praise Jesus. He kept away from the party world. Or we would have yanked him out as best we could. but you know what? Get a trade. Learn how to do, you run an excavator. Learn how to build a house. Learn how to wire. You're going to be so much better off than sending a kid to go get destroyed in the idolatry that is in our world today. So, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from the place. What would be the equivalent today? Can you imagine? Let's say there was a king like Hezekiah. He would absolutely shut down. He would send his generals and go shut down every single porn site in the country. Absolutely, completely destroyed. Every abortion site gets shut down right now. Every single movie that glorifies homosexuality, pedophilia, anything else, it's all shut down. By the way, you can't even watch commercials. And you know, all the commercials that are putting out the perversion today, they have to go. And if a king were to do that today, how many of the people of America would go, man, I can't wait till we get rid of him? It'd be a good chunk. And see what we see about Hezekiah, because the nation had gotten so addicted to all this stuff that when Hezekiah comes along, Hezekiah was the son of a wicked king who had allowed the people to do what they were doing. And then he shuts it down. The people, wait till we get rid of him. We'll rig the next election. So when they get rid of Hezekiah, you know what his son does? His son Manasseh takes over and says, my dad tore him down, build him back up. And he became the most wicked king that Judah ever had. And the people let him go for it because the hearts of the people weren't changed. So this is why, this is what we learn from the Bible. Apply it. What has to change in America is the hearts of Americans. What cannot change America is finding some politicians to try and force Americans to do what God says to do. Because if the heart of the people are like, I don't want this, then they're going to not let it happen. And especially in a country where you can rig elections for godless people, or you can whatever you can do to get rid of them. If the population doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. So politics in itself cannot change like Hezekiah learned. It fixes it for a little while, but the heart of the people goes back to corruption. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't try and vote for godly people and everything else, but it can't be my hope. The real purpose of the church is to get the hearts of the people to want to fear God. And that is sharing the gospel. And shedding the gospel. Instead of shedding COVID, shed Jesus out there. Tell people, hey, normal's not coming back because God's judgment's falling on our country, but Jesus is coming back. Are you ready for that? So, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, sacred pillars, images. So here we are Christians, right? I mean, for those of you that are Christians here, profess to be Christians here, we're not supposed to worship God with things that the world has made into idols. the things that can destroy. We have nothing to do with it. Why? Because Satan inspires people to worship anything besides God, and we're not supposed to do that. Nothing should be more important than Jesus in our life. And you know how you can tell where you're at? Is what are you thinking about during the day? You know, we have dozens of decisions to make every day. And I love the song, from the rising of the sun till the time it goes down. And I love the song that, you know, when we, in the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus. See, the more we fall in love with Jesus, because the more we read his word, the more we're waking up and we're going, okay, Jesus, today's yours. Today I know the devil's going to try and get to me through different temptations and stuff. Today I'm going to say no to the devil because I want to worship you and I want to follow you there. Everything we're thinking about is Jesus. And we're thinking about him and we want to worship him. If you're not there, it's because you're not reading the word of God. And maybe even because you're just playing religion and you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you that gives you the power. Better make it right, because you know what? Our Jesus is coming back soon. Deuteronomy 12:5, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. So Moses is saying, don't go to every high hill. Don't go to the places the world goes. Don't go to where idols are, but I want you to go to where I'm going to give you a place. When you get into the promised land, I'm going to direct you to set up the tabernacle in one place. And that is the place where you go. You don't go to the high places. And by the way, the tabernacle is set up first at Gilgal. They get across the river. They're at Gilgal. Then they go to Shiloh, where the tabernacle, and this is a model of the tabernacle. Again, I showed this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to do it again. This is what they were carrying with them in the wilderness. Later on, it became Solomon's temple, and they didn't do the tabernacle anymore. But what God is, he told them exactly how to make this, because it's symbolic of how to get to God. One way to get into the tabernacle, the door, Jesus, get one way. First thing is sacrifice at the brazen altar. Then the laver of bronze, for us, it's the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. And then we can get into the tabernacle, and then we can get to the Holy of Holies, because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil rent in two, giving access to people. So this was symbolic back in the days of Moses for what God was going to do through Jesus to give us access. The people realized, this is what I have to do to get my sins dealt with. It has to be here that I get my sins dealt with. Can we get our sins dealt with any place but Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected and ascended? You know, for people, and there's pastors all over the country that are saying, no, there's other ways. You know, sin's not that important. As long as you're just a good person, as long as you learn how to love people, as long as whatever else, then you don't need to. No, then you've gone to a high place. You've gone to a high place where you can find out that man can be God by just being a good person. You've got to recognize it takes sacrifice for sins. Everybody here that professes to be a Christian, you should be able or to be convicted of and have said, I'm a Christian because I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I decided to repent of my rebellion against God. And I went to Jesus because God said I had to go through Jesus. And the first thing I did is acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross and was sacrificed for my sin. And then the Holy Spirit came upon me and cleansed me and washed me from all sin. And then because of that, I get to go to be with Jesus. So I'm a Christian because what God did to make access to heaven. And so God was saying to Moses to tell the children, I'm going to give you a place, you know, and it ends up being Jerusalem. And this is where you have to do it. You have to worship one way. And we have to worship one way. Jesus is the only way to be saved. So there you shall take your burnt offerings, verse 6. Your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offering, your freewill offering, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And again, when it was in Shiloh for 300 years, on my first tour to Israel, we went to Shiloh, is what the Hebrews call it. And I didn't even, at the time, I was ignorant about a lot of this, the importance of Shiloh. Didn't know that the tabernacle was there for 300 years, and the mayor of Shiloh is explaining everything to us, and he goes, we know where the temple is. We know where it was. And we said, how? And he goes, because it's required in the law, Deuteronomy, which we're about to read, it was required in the law that you go and you do your fellowship sacrifices, burnt offerings, all this stuff, which is not just sacrificing an animal and now you're forgiven of sin. It was like a family affair. It's like, let's go to the temple and worship God. And we're going to take a free will offering or a fellowship offering or a peace offering to God, which you actually shared with the priest, got some of the meat offerings, all in Leviticus, but then the family got the rest of it. And then it's required here that when you go to that place, you sit down and you eat as a family within eyeshot of the tabernacle. And so what they did when they got to Shiloh is they said, we're gonna see where the people were in the days of Joshua. This is like 1999. They knew where the people sat, so they knew where the tabernacle was because there's hills around there. And I go, how did you know where the people were sitting? And he goes, because of the pottery. Because there was, over the 300 years, millions of times people had gone there for a family potluck with all the other Jews on the different Jewish ceremonies and all the things that they had done. And instead of carrying home their empty pottery, they would just break it. He goes, so there's pottery everywhere. We actually, that wall up there is where we saw, where actually they put, this is the wall that also defines the place. And I go, so there's pottery. He goes, yeah, look down. And I look down, and there's pieces of pottery everywhere. Millions and millions of pieces of pottery all over the place, where they had actually obeyed this at Shiloh. But Shiloh got burned up and destroyed by the Philistines. Why did that happen? Because the people started sinning and worshiping idols. And because they trusted in the Ark of the Covenant as an idol. And because the sons of the priest had ripped off the people and they were going around and go, hey, give me some of that meat. Send money to me and you'll be healed. They were ripping the people off to the point where it says in the book of Samuel, the people hated going to worship because they were disgusted by the priest ripping them off. The priest's sons, Eli's sons, ripping them off. Are there people who don't want to go to church today because when they go, they can't hear the gospel? Because they don't hear anything about Jesus. They just hear preach for bucks. They hear all this other stuff and they go around from church to church to church in their city. And then they report to people like Jen Markell and Berean Call Ministry and every other place. And they say, I've gone to every single church and there's not one of them that's not ripping me off. And the reason this kind of gets me is because I was seeking in the Jesus movement. You know, the revival of the 70s is when I was at Putney Hill. And you know what? When I got saved, I had a church to go to. I had a church to disciple me. I had a church that told me, you know, accurately told me what the Word of God was saying. And I went from there and I had another one, another coffee house ministry in Idaho and everything. And I grieve for the people today who are seeking and they can't get the straight scoop, which is why we're committed here to try and give people this straight scoop how you have to get to Jesus. And part of that is you too. See, the reason we disciple you is so that you can be stuck on Jesus too. You can say, oh, I heard this and this and this. What do you think? You got to believe in Jesus or you're going to die and go to judgment. You have to trust in Him. He's the only way to be saved. No, all the religions aren't like a whole bunch of fingers sticking in a cup and we just take them all and then that's how we learn, as I was told this morning. No, you're being lied to by the whole world and it's going to lead to your destruction. And so verse 7, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God. This is see, the Jews interpreted that you have to eat in eyeshot of where God was dwelling, which is the Shekinah glory of God was right here at the temple. And that's how they knew where they were in Shiloh. You shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand and you and your household in which the Lord your God has blessed you. How is that work in the church today? It works by what did the church do? They went to the temple, but it says so continually, Acts 2:46, not your notes. daily on one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So the church just got together and we want to remember Jesus. And they would gather together. It was known through history. They'd pick a day during the week to gather together to remember what Jesus did. And that's what we do. We don't have to worry about going to some place. In fact, isn't that even what Jesus said to the woman at the well? Remember in John chapter 4, and I'm going to read this too. John chapter 4. In fact, turn to John chapter 4. It's not in your notes. Hopefully you have your Bibles. Now, the woman at the well is a Samaritan. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Why? Because they have been corrupted by lies about how to worship God. The history of the Samaritans are complex. But they started really with Jeroboam, the first king of northern Israel, who said, I'm not going to let people get to the temple. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a golden calf in Bethel, and I'm going to put a golden calf in Dan. And that way, if people are thinking they want to go all the way down to Jerusalem, another few miles, they can stop and worship a golden calf instead of coming to Jerusalem. Because if the people repent and just decide, why did we make Jeroboam? Why do we have this civil war? And they go back to Jerusalem and kill him. He goes, I'm going to create idolatry and get the people away from true service of God. And it worked for the entire history of northern Israel. The entire history of northern Israel, they never got rid of the golden calves until Assyria destroyed them, getting people to go to some other place. And then later on in history, the Greeks get involved, and there's this whole thing about the Samaritans. But the woman answered and said, verse 17, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. So what do you think her life was? Idolatry or worship of God? It's idolatry. Her life is trash. She's had five husbands. The one she's living with now, shacking up with, is not her husband. Which proves, by the way, that the ceremony of marriage is the only thing recognized by God as marriage. Because he didn't say you have six husbands. He's saying you've had five, and the one you're living with is not your husband. And then the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers, our history of false religion, worshipped on this mountain. You know what mountain that was? Mount Gerizim. We worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Why? Because of what we're reading in Deuteronomy. Because that was now the place that God had prescribed to be where they worshiped, because that's where the temple was set up that was supposed to represent how you got to God, which was corrupted by the Pharisees to the point where the people couldn't really understand what it took to worship God, which is why they killed Jesus, because Jesus should have been, the Pharisees should have said, Jesus, you're here. You're to fulfill the shadow of what all this was about, because you, according to Isaiah, are going to die for the sins of the people. You're going to be the perfect sacrifice, like John the Baptist said 3 years ago when he said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But the priests were corrupt, just like pastors are corrupt today, and keeping people from coming to Jesus. And then Jesus said, woman, believe me, in verse 21, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, location is about to go away. You worship what you do not know, because you've been falsely deceived by, you've been deceived by false teachers in your culture of being a Samaritan. You worship what you do not know. We know, we Jews know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Not in religious practices, not in go to church on Sunday, live like hell through the rest of the week, all the other stuff that people talk about. God is going to, he wants to worship in every single town and village and country, red and yellow, black and white, all over the world. Worship right where you are in spirit and truth by worshiping Jesus. That's what was coming through Jesus. And so going back to, and there you shall, at verse 7, you shall eat before the Lord your God, in which the Lord your God has blessed you, shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes, for as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. And we'll conclude with that emphasis. We're not allowed to do what is right in our own eye. It grieves me even in that conversation with that young man before service today. He's saying, oh no, yeah, I hear you, but no, it's like this. And you just, you grieve. You grieve when you know the truth. You know that he's got a smorgasbord of ideas that doesn't agree with the 7 billion other people that are on the planet, because he's come up with his doing what's right in my own eyes. We're not allowed to think of worshiping God the way I think he should be worshiped. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And we worship him because Jesus is the one that came and set us free. Jesus means God's salvation. It was what was sent by God to save us. And there's no other way to be saved. And we don't get there by works. We get there by faith in him, and then he gives us works through us, which includes loving people that are around us and loving them enough to tell them the truth of what it takes for them to have eternal life. And if they hate us for doing that, we just grieve for them because we know the truth. Someday Jesus is coming back. And someday every soul that dies, they're going to stand before God for all of eternity. They're going to stand before God and be judged by him, either as being saved because they worship Jesus as their Savior, or they're going to be lost for all of eternity. And so let's, in our own life, let's not fall. If there is something in your life that is just stealing away the time and devotion to God, if there isn't a heartfelt desire, I want to pick up his word and learn it, and it just seems like it's too hard, too far away. That's what he's going to go on to say. Don't be saying it's too far away, and then just going under some green tree on some hill and do your own thing. I worship God every day I'm out on the golf course. I just worship God. I've heard people say that. I worship God every time I go here. You're under a green tree. You don't know what you're talking about. You've made something else your idol. Jesus is number one in our life. And that doesn't mean that we're 24/7 because we got to work and everything else, but he's on the mind. If he's not there, get right with God. Go from here today. And Jesus, I want you to be more on my mind. I want you to live through me. I want to study to show myself and approve diligently, studying to have an answer for the hope that's within me. I want you to rule my life. And we can all say that. I can say that. Every week I can say that and say I want to get closer and closer, because we can't get too close to Jesus. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. We pray that, Jesus, you would just help us in this idolatrous, corrupt world, especially realizing from your own prophetic word, Lord, that you warned us that what we're seeing today would be the signs of just before you come back. And you said that the deception would be so incredible in the last days that if people turn away from the truth, you'll give them over to a lie. And we see people totally believing lies. And we know that you're coming. And God, we pray that you would help us to be set free from the lies ourselves. To only believe and trust in and hold on to and cling to the truth. And to use us, Lord, in other people's lives until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in this song. My King on high. That's true for everybody here in your audience standing. Holy ground, meaning you've given your life to Jesus and you know your life is hidden in Him. If you don't know Him, please don't leave today without trusting in Him as your Savior. Come to me or the person you came with. There's no reason to put off for even a second getting right with Jesus and being on holy ground with Him. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.